Well, good morning. It is 9 minutes past nine and a beautiful 64 out there. I'm Larry Long. Welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence is brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, located at the corner of Milam and 12th Street. And now your host, Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Mr. Larry Long. How are you?
Good, good. Boy, you got to be having people coming in droves now. It's that weather. You get bit by that bug, and you want to be out there.
It is.
I know. I actually got my son out there yesterday.
Wow.
Yard work. Yeah, that was a real coup.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah,
just
I
kidding.
Know. Ooh, there.
Getting that next generation is out. A little harder, isn't it, Larry?
Yeah, it's not as easy as I thought it might be.
Do you have, maybe you could do gardening, on a little, your smartphone for them or something? So that's what most kids do.
I hate that. I might get it to go for.
But, hey, we're trying to get all generations involved, Larry. So maybe we can get them all started with a little timely tips. And then maybe we can go into some questions, too.
All right.
Hey, good morning, everybody. And just like Larry said, what a welcome sight having that sunshine. Sunshine in the forecast for actually more than one day in a row. Woo. The weatherman actually said yesterday he wasn't sure if he had seen a nicer forecast ever. That's kind of good news for us gardeners and landscapers. It's fun to see actually the nursery down at Waddell's starting to fill up with fresh evergreens, new shrubs, and flowering trees. From redbuds and dogwoods to cedars and lilacs, our place is bursting with fresh. So, speaking of fresh and speaking of lilacs, did you know lilacs date back to the mid-1700s? Lilacs are recognized as one of the oldest cultivars in ornamental plants. These old-fashioned favorites originated actually in Europe and Asia, and today are one of the most beautiful, fragrant plants grown in the industry. Did you know there was over 1,000 varieties of lilacs? And the most important part of the landscaping is they stand out above all the other flowering, woody plants for the diversity of color, fragrance, and the unlimited range of climate sustainability. They're very easy to care for. They're cold hardy, and a lot of times they will bloom from early spring right into the summer. Lilacs are available in a wide range of tree and shrub form. They're best planted in full sun with moist, well-drained soil and really will not tolerate wet feet. The most popular varieties of lilac is Syringa vulgaris, and that's just a cultivar, and many of the cultivars have been breeded off that. Hybridizers have really been creating some of these colors for centuries. The lilacs are prized for their gorgeous bouquets and intoxicating fragrance. Colors range from white, cream, blue, pink, red, purple, and even multiple color. They bloom from mid-May, like you all know, and actually, they actually have some attraction to the hummingbirds, to the bees, and to the butterflies. So some of our varieties in our lineup of lilacs include Sensation. Sensation is actually a double flowering lilac. It's got a purple flower with a white fringe on the outside edge. It is actually a stunning flower what is in bloom. We have Pocahontas. Pocahontas is actually a very deep violet color bloom. It actually blooms a little earlier and longer than a lot of the other varieties. Very strong, very pleasant scent. It's not overwhelming, so Pocahontas is a great choice. Beauty of Moscow is one of the most breathtaking lilacs featured, and it includes like a pink pearl-like buds that actually open up to a gorgeous double white flower. Very strong fragrance. And of course, there's standbys like Miss Kim and Dwarf Korean. Miss Kim is probably one of the most fragrant lilacs there is. Sometimes Miss Kim can be smelled a yard or a neighbor away. Dwarf Korean is known for its compaction, for having a nice fragrance, and yet have a compact plant that stays in that 4 to 6 foot range. But the last couple years, they've actually worked on lilacs. Lilacs are only a spring bloomer, you say, and it's nice to have them, but in 2 or 3 weeks, they're basically gone. The flowers are spent, and that's why the industry has worked very hard on a new item called Bloomerang. Bloomerang Lilac is a repeating bloom lilac. Bloomerang is a compact. It is similar to Dwarf Korean, going to max out about that 5 to 7 foot range. But I'll say actually the first year we started carrying them at Waddell's, I actually thought it might be a fad. Plants kind of come and plants go. And I thought maybe it might be a hype more in the media than in the plant itself. So we watched this plant, tried to follow Bloomerang and how it did. So it bloomed very nicely in the spring, very similar to the other lilacs. But in the heat of the summer, when it came on, thinking everything would shut down, that lilac would keep repeating its bloom sporadically in the heat, on and off here and there on different parts of the plant. But I'll tell you what, come fall, it cooled down, got late August, early September, and boom, out it came again. Flowering again, small lavender, small little flowers. It's not the huge flower of the regular common lilacs, but figuring maybe that flower was too far late in the season. So we're thinking, that bloomerang's not going to flower next spring, because you guys have all seen sometimes a lilac or a rhododendron flower at the wrong time of the year, and then the next year it won't flower. A lot of times it goes into dormancy in the summertime. It feels like it's fall, and suddenly we get an Indian summer, and then it kicks back in. But bloomerang next spring tended to flower just as well as the previous year. So we really went into it a lot heavier, carrying a proven winter plant of the variety of bloomerang. And now we have bloomerang in a shrub and in a small little tree. They have grafted bloomerang into a little tree form. So we have bloomerang, Miss Kim, and Dwarf Korean, all on grafted tree form lilacs. And then we also have Snow Dance, Japanese tree form, and Ivory Silk lilacs, all in the tree series of lilacs. And it's sure nice to have those, because they actually flower in June and July. Sometimes they will flower for 4 to 6 weeks because there's no frost left. Oh, you're all familiar with lilacs. You're saying, that's an easy plant to take care of. But a lot of times people don't have the results that they want. They see them blooming in the nursery, and yet they get them home and they can't seem to figure out how they can't get flower. So the care of a lilac: pH scale, where 7 is neutral. Lilacs like a higher pH. Most of the time we're telling you, get the alkalinity down, but actually in lilacs, they like sweet ground. So 6.5 to 7 on a pH scale is what I'd like you to try to get those at. Question on the soil, you know where to test it out. Bring it into the store. We'll test it. Takes about 5 minutes. We'll test it for free. Feeding, I'd like you to do a low nitrogen food and a high phosphorus. Try to kick in more flower. The plant tends to grow by itself fairly easy, so you don't need a high nitrogen. And make sure you put them in sun. Feed them in late winter or in the early spring. And then make sure every 3 to 5 years, and we can go over that later, is pruning. Go ahead and get out that old wood. Get out the old mother canes, and every 3 to 5 years, rejuvenate that plant. Just a little bit on lilacs itself, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of other nice plants coming on that have expanded its whole lineup. Things like Redbud. Redbud has expanded its lineup. 2 new introductions that we're starting to carry at Waddell's. A lot of people have heard of the Eastern Redbud or the Hardy Redbud. That's pink flowers, going to be flowering in the next couple weeks. Then there's been a burgundy leaf redbud called Forest Pansy. Forest Pansy's been a very sensitive redbud, needs to be in somewhat of a sheltered area. But they have crossed some varieties, mixed it, and did some hybridizing, and they've come up with a burgundy leafed weeping variety of redbud called Ruby Falls. So you'll have that pink flower in a cascading form with a burgundy foliage on the foliage or on the leaf structure in the summertime. Very, very nice. And then we also have Hearts of Gold. Hearts of Gold is another type of redbud that has a red wine color foliage that turns to yellow and then bright yellow in the summer. This yellow, a lot of times in leaves, tend to burn out in our Michigan heat, but this actually stays and is burnt resistant and very nice. It's nice to have a yellow foliage plant that actually looks good and doesn't look chlorotic or sick. Dogwoods have come a long ways also. Everybody wants the traditional dogwood. I helped a client the other day trying to buy a dogwood for a funeral arrangement, and just almost discouraged it because a lot of times dogwoods can be sensitive. Nothing worse than having a dogwood not make it in somebody's yard that was for a memorial. So we tried to work through the ideas, getting away from the traditional dogwood and getting into some of the varieties that have been crossed. So when we come back, Larry, maybe we can talk about some of those dogwood varieties, maybe get people the right plant for the right spot.
Sounds good, Andy. If you have a question this morning, by all means, let us hear from you. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280.
What you need to have the best-looking, greenest lawn in the neighborhood. The Scotts Lawn Pro 4-Step Premium All-Season Lawn Program from Waddell's has everything you need. This is the ideal time to apply Step 1, which provides a top-quality spring feeding and all-summer crabgrass control. Step 2 gives broadleaf weed control and fertilizer for early summer turf health. Step 3 gives your lawn a midsummer feeding boost, and Step 4 is the perfect autumn feed. The Scotts Lawn Pro 4-Step Program takes the guesswork out of lawn care, and it's so much more economical than having a lawn service come in. And of course, you can't get Scotts Lawn Pro products just anywhere, only at authorized Lawn Pro dealers like Waddell's Garden Center. Stop at Waddell's today to get your Scotts Lawn Pro products and be sure to pick up your rebate certificate that will get you from $20 to $45 back on your purchase price. Have questions about your lawn? Bring in your sod and soil sample for a pH test and free soil analysis, and Waddell's Lawn Pros will be glad to prescribe just what you need. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millen and 12th Street.
And we are back. It is 9:21, and welcome back to Over the Garden Fence. Once again, here's your host, Andy Waddell. Hey there, Andy.
Oh, there we are, everybody. Thank you all. And, Larry, you got your boy out in the yard, you said the other day.
Yes, amazingly enough.
You do some yard work?
A little bit, yeah. It's the stick pickup is alone before we can even do the mowing was huge this year.
Yeah, because then if you don't, you're going to bust up the mower or the blades.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, I tell you, everybody getting out in the yard and people wanting to start planting, a normal plant that everybody wants to buy is a dogwood. So I'm just letting everybody know, dogwoods actually have come a long ways. Yes, everybody wants that traditional dogwood. Traditional dogwood is Cornus florida, or the Cornus florida family, white, traditional white flowering dogwood, pink, and sometimes the red. But really, where do you folks see a dogwood growing? Along a woods line, in a sheltered area, in a looking little nook and cranny spot out in the sun, somewhere where it's out of the wind. So just make sure. Dogwoods are sensitive. They're actually a little touchy. Yes, they're hardy, but sometimes put in the wrong spot. And lastly, a lot of times, dogwoods are not grown here in Michigan. They're grown down south and then shipped up to us Michiganers. And a lot of times that plant can't adjust or a lot of times get acclimated to the Michigan climate. So we have come out with a couple of varieties called the Cherokee series. The Cherokee series is an anthracnose-resistant variety of dogwood, finally. Anthracnose is a disease that the dogwoods get. A lot of times the disease is traveled with dogwoods that have come up from the Tennessee-Kentucky area. And Cherokee Princess and Brave are both resistant. And then we also have one called Venus. Venus is a cross between Korean dogwood and a Pacifica, or West Coast dogwood. Now, West Coast dogwood is not hardy, but Korean is even tougher than the Cornus florida. And Korean dogwood, now mixed with the Pacifica, the Venus flower, Larry, I've seen, I have one at my house, and the flower is bigger than your hand spread out.
Wow.
The flower can be 5 to 7 inches across, almost the size of a small dinner plate.
Gee.
It is stunning of a plant.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
And so, it's just an idea. If you want to take a look at some of the new dogwoods, come on down to Waddell's and look up the Cherokee series or the Venus series. So,
all right.
Let's, you want to go to the phones, Larry?
Let's take a phone call. We have David in Kalamazoo. And good morning, David. You're on the air.
Morning.
Hey,
morning.
David. How can I be of help?
Last winter, we felt we were getting a wind draft through the back. And I want to plant a windbreak. Mm-hmm. What would be, I know dogwoods don't make a good windbreak, but what would be, you know, what should I look at and how far away from the house would good row, like pine trees or something, you know, how would I go about tackling that?
You bet. First of all, David, I got to ask a couple questions. You got enough room back there so we could put a row of evergreens so they can get growing, and then we could put something next to it. Like a lot of times you'll see out in the fields, they'll grow poplar trees for the windbreak and then put little spruce underneath them. Well, do you have
we've got acreage out back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So my thoughts are, let's get an evergreen in that'll start doing a blockage right away. Something that grows fast, something like Serbian spruce or Norway spruce would be a great block. I love our Michigan white pine, but sometimes they burn really bad, David, if you put them on a heavy, windy spot. So Norway spruce grow fast. Serbian spruce and Black Hill spruce, both of them grow fast, okay? Do they grow as fast as a pine? No, but spacing, maybe you did in that 20-foot spacing or 18 to 20-foot on centers. But then in between, David, maybe put something that might be an understory plant, something as the spruce get older, the foliage tends to reach for the sun just like all the other trees, and the bottom thins out. So maybe underneath, maybe pick something like arborvita or cedar family, which that is. And yes, there is varieties that the deer don't eat. Or, yep, I like a lot of other plants that, like chokeberry does a great for a hedge. Tall hedge does very nice. Fine line buckthorn, dogwood shrubs, red twig dogwood does very nicely. A lot of your viburnum family. And so with David, I'd probably start with your back row with the evergreens. Maybe start something either small and maybe where you think the wind is coming in the most, maybe pick a few bigger of the trees, and then maybe in those spacings, go ahead and put something smaller as they get older and the trees start getting the bigger canopy and providing the blockage up top. When they thin out at the bottom, there's something else growing.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet. You bet. Stop in sometime with maybe a shot of the area. We're just starting to dig evergreens and at our farm, and so we could kind of show you the different styles.
All right, I appreciate it. And one last quick question.
No problem, David.
Why don't you bring your cousin Larry on the show to help you?
You know, he should be next on this list. We need to trade jobs once in a while, so you bet. I will tell Larry we need to get him on as a special guest sometime.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thanks, David. Have a great day. Well, that's kind of cool. A lot of it is windbreaks. If you put in the wrong plant, you're going to have burn. And a lot of times people will look for privacy for a wind row or a evergreen row and pick the wrong plant. A lot of times, like white pine's a great choice, but a lot of times it can be a thinner variety. It's not much for privacy. And as they get older, a lot of times you'll see that white pine tend to burn up a little bit. So there's things like that when you're taking in consideration a wind rate. So let's get back to our things to do. So we were talking about dogwood a few minutes ago, and we were talking about anthracnose. Some of the new varieties, Cherokee and the Venus dogwoods. So let's go over how to take care of anthracnose. There's a couple things we got to do on our list today. Weather is catching up on us really fast. So with dogwood, anthracnose, and boar, a lot of times when people have established dogwood, they have an issue with them getting old later on. Resistance goes down, susceptibility goes up. So we'd ask you to spray with Halt systemic fungicide after rainy periods from May to June. And then I would ask you from August to the end of September, spray with Maneb every 2 weeks. Remove competitive grass at the root zone. Mulch with at least 2 to 3 inches of cedar wood chips and water during the dry spells. Then apply fertile loam systemic soil drench in the fall or in the early spring if the boar entries are found. Apply 38 plus permethrin with a paintbrush on the trunk. So, and the last thing is fertilize with a Spoma Hollytone in the spring and in the fall. And if you haven't done it lately and you did it in the fall, you don't have to repeat in the springtime. But if you haven't done it lately and an established dogwood, they're actually very treasured. We were at a job this week. The dogwood probably has a good 8-inch to 10-inch trunk, one of the largest dogwoods I've seen. I pointed immediately to the client and says, oh, you want to save that? And they said, why? And I said, do you understand the size of, and the value of that dogwood? So help with the anthracnose and the borer on the dogwood. Let's work on the crabgrass this week. If you're going to get crabgrass control on, this is the week for it. Pretty soon, the dandelions will be in their puffball stage, and it'll be too late. So if you're putting crabgrass control on, do it soon. We have Turf Builder and Step One programs. Stop in. Bring in a soil sample. Let's get going on the grass before it's too late. So when we come back, we got lots more to do on our to-do list today, Larry.
All right, Andy, it is 9:30 and a sunny 64 over the garden fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. We'll be right back on 590-96.5 WKZO.
Two things that seem to be doing quite well during this wet spring season are lawn grubs and weeds. Did you know that if you apply GrubX now from Waddell's Garden Center, you'll not only kill the grubs in your lawn, but also prevent some of the Japanese beetle invasions next year? The lawn pros at Waddell's Garden Center recommend getting GrubX on now for the easiest way to prevent your lawn from being destroyed by Japanese beetle grubs. These grubs happen to be the favorite food of molds, which also wreak havoc on your turf. Right now, get Scott's GrubX at Waddell's for just $14.99 with your $5 mail-in rebate. Now is also a great time to get rid of unwanted weeds and grasses. Roundup and the Easy Spray container is the fastest and easiest way to kill those weeds dead. The 1.33-gallon container is on sale for $16.88 or $11.88 with your $5 mail-in rebate. If you don't know the best way to control your weeds, bring samples to Waddell's Plant Doctor for identification and a prescription to improve the health and quality of your landscape. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, the people who've been greening Southwest Michigan for 67 years, is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
And we are back at 9:31. We have plenty of time for your questions. If you have a question for Andy today, 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. Once again, here's Andy Waddell.
You bet. Thank you, everybody. Hey, Larry, I want to clear something up before we move on to our things
all
to
right.
do. Earlier in the week, or last couple of weeks, we've been talking about impatience and that a flowering plant that might have a scare in Michigan for downy mildew. But I was trying to tell folks earlier in the shows a couple of weeks ago, the preventatives for downy mildew. I was not saying not to plant impatience. I know a lot of people came in this week and said, Andy said not to plant the impatience. Actually, Larry, I love impatiens. I probably, my wife and I plant many, many flats of impatiens at our house. So we plan on trying to control the downy mildew. Some people might not even have the problem with the impatiens, but we were just recommending some things if you get this issue. The good thing about the impatiens that we'll be carrying, our growers have put on a 6-week residual spray that at least the impatiens that you're buying at Waddell's will not have that issue. So I'm just letting you know, please grow and have
that's
the impatiens
right.
in the house.
They're going to take you at your word, Andy. You got to remember but, that. You are the gardening expert.
I was trying to say the preventative of it, not okay. to not plant them.
All so. Right. Well, glad we were able to clear that
you
up.
You bet.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Rose in Portage, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey,
good morning.
Morning.
We have two border collies that have worn down the grass. What could I plant that they're not going to tread on this grass and all I have is mud?
And Rose, do you want lawn there? Do you want to maybe pick something else that they could tramp?
Probably something else that they wouldn't track down.
Okay.
Bad.
Okay. Now, you could go right into a low-mow or a no-mow grass. There's a type of grass that gets only about the 6 to 12 inches tall. It is a special order at our store, but it is called Black Beauty. And what it is, Rose, is a grass that comes up about 6 to 8 inches and then lays over very nicely like a ground cover. It gets very thick, and it does have some natural weed seed in it that's pleasant seed that would grow and mature and be nice in that area. You could pick maybe a nice ground cover. Like Ivy would probably take those dogs. I'm not sure all the ground covers would take a lot of beating, but I bet your sedums would also do fairly well, Rose, and still be able to make the daily travels with the dog. Now, is mulch out of the question?
Well, my husband was concerned with that with mowing because they really tear when they go out the door.
Yep. Flying. And most dogs with mulch, they just grovel in it, you know.
Right.
So that's why I'm thinking maybe leaning back towards something that would be short. You know, steppables, we got a lot of ground cover that can take good foot traffic, but dogs are different. They're going to really be hard on it. So we'd want something that they can gravel up, dig, and still make it. And I think that Thorndale ivy or a lot of your sedums, Thorndale is an evergreen. Sedum is not an evergreen, Rose, but both of those would stay short, 3 to 5 inches or less, and still be able to tolerate that dog traffic. Now, if you have dog droppings, which is normal, go ahead and apply gypsum, and that will leach the uric acids out of that area. So every once in a while, apply a bag
spots.
Of... What's that?
I said you get the spots.
Yep, and that'll help relieve those spots or the burn spots.
Okay, super.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your advice.
Yeah, Rose, good luck on that spot.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You do.
All right,
bye.
Thanks very much, Rose. And now we have Dottie in Goebbels. Good morning, Dottie.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dottie. How can I be of help over there?
Hi, Andy. Last year, I got moose spruce.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, I dug the hole every foot and put that fertilizer in there.
Good job.
But they said it was too later to spray that stuff with a spider sticker.
Mm-hmm.
So I should do that now, right?
You should do that now. And if you look, Dottie, at the foliage tips, they're just starting to emerge, aren't they? They're just, the new spruce is just starting to pop out, and that's just optimal time.
Okay, do I put it on the branches or do I put it in the trunk?
Everywhere.
Yep. Everywhere.
Branch, tips, trunk, just so it runs off. And that what you're trying to do is everybody, it's rhizosphaeria or Swiss needle cast a lot of times is what Dottie's probably got. All you're trying to do, Dottie, is not have that happen. And
right.
A good feeding. Every fall, just get on a feeding program. What you can do is just build a little resistance. And when it's small, like drilling holes every year, you're just going to build that plant up and probably not always have to spray then.
Should I do that now again, put the fertilizer every foot?
And, Dottie, did you do that last fall?
Yes.
I'd wait till fall again. Once a season on an evergreen is fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. I have another question about your impatience.
Yep.
Downy mildew.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, if we get impatience from you, we don't have to worry about that.
Well, for the first 6 weeks, Roger Waddell, our annual and perennial grower, did tell me that the two growers they're getting them from are applying the spray that for our clients will not have that issue for 6 weeks. Now, downy mildew moves in the air. So even a lot of times, there might be a grower, I know you're Goebbels, but there might be a grower near you or a homeowner near you that bought them from, say, a box store that didn't have the sprays on them, and it travels. That's the problem compared to powdery mildew. Downy mildew will work through neighborhoods.
Okay.
So there is a spray program that we have, and I'm just trying to make people aware, not leery, of getting those patients in, and if there's an issue, this is some of the things that can be done.
Okay, so what should you spray on them after 6 weeks?
Yep. Activinate is a spray. It's a foliar spray, and you want a foliar spray with a soil drench. And the reason is, with downy mildew, it is a mildew, Dottie, that is smart. It will build resistance immediately. So there's three items. The second item, first one was Activinate. Second one is Agrifos. AGRI.FOS, and it's actually a soil drench and foliar spray. And the third one is called Triple Action. And all we're trying to do is rotate, just like in a tomato. Sometimes plants build resistance right away. So every 10 days to 2 weeks, just as a rotate to do these items. Now, once they get them in, downy mildew must be prevented. Once the plants are infected, they actually need to be removed.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a preventive. We're just trying to tell people, last year they were coming in with impatience that had, they almost, Dottie, looked like strings Mm-hmm. Just no flower, but at the very tips, long, gangly growth. The plant was not dead, but it just withered down to nothing with no foliage.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there's just some ideas, and some people, like myself, I'm out in the country, chances are I might not get it as easy as that person that's going to be in town, but buyer beware as they're putting them in.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thanks for your help.
Yeah, thanks, Dottie, for calling in.
Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks bye-bye. Very much, Dottie, and we will be right back with more of Over the Garden Fence on 590-96.5 WKZO.
Thursday's next Sunday. Think about it. Does mom really want that dog you're going to get her? Or does she want some flowers? It's easy to get mom the perfect gift at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. Select from beautiful cut flowers, artfully arranged bouquets, flowering and hanging baskets, and combination pots of colorful annuals. Mom also loves birds. Waddell's has beautiful painted copper bird sculptures, hummingbird feeders, Michigan-made cedar bird feeders, and many birdhouse styles. Maybe she needs some gardening gloves. There are dozens of styles to choose from. How about planting a memory with mom? Waddell's has flowering crab trees, lilacs, azaleas, and rhododendron shrubs. Waddell's also has an excellent selection of flowering hanging baskets, potted flowers, herb plants, and hundreds of perennial plants. Maybe mom would like some new outdoor furniture for the deck, a fountain, some pruners. Well, I'm sure you get the picture. Can't decide between a gazing globe and a hydrangea shrub? A Waddell's gift certificate is always the right size and color. Mom will feel real special when you give her a gift from Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Millen and 12th Street.
Well, just a couple of minutes left here. It is 9:40 once again. Over the Garden Fence, your host, Andy Waddell.
You bet. Thank you, everybody, and all the calls this morning. You know, Larry, I think we're just trying to go over some remedies, and sometimes we get remedies out, and that's too late.
I know.
So you talk around a remedy to do next year, and it's like, come on. So I'm just trying to go over some things that's got to be done this week. And so we talked about the dogwoods when they anthracnose. We talked about trying to get on the crabgrass control on the lawn. So the next thing is going to be, believe it or not, with oak, maple, and ash, we a lot of times get these little bumps on the leaves. Looks like it's a Martian that landed on the leaf. Long, elongated bumps that stick out of that leaf. A lot of times silver maple will get it. But it's a bladder gall. And most of the time, gall is brought on, or these bumps on this foliage is brought on by a pathogen or by an insect. So either way, we're saying spray with 10% permethrin at bud opening, and that's at the silver tip, and again 2 weeks later when the leaves are fully open. Big tree, you're saying, how can I ever spray? Spray as much as you can. An application then, a Fertilome soil drench in mid-October will usually eliminate the need for spring sprays. Again, maple, oak, and ash bladder gall. Now, in my notes right here, I wrote on the pruning of oak trees. We had somebody yesterday coming in and was ready to prune up their oak because they're moving a fence or putting a new fence in. And so really, prune oaks only in the winter. Oak wilt or sudden oak death is really happening in Michigan. And so there's just an idea with if you're pruning. Now, he was pruning just a branch off just so he could get the fence in, had to cut it off. So we're doing a sterilization with Consan and then doing a tree wound compound that will seal that up right away so nothing will get in that. So next thing on our list, fruit trees. If you're going to get anything on the fruit trees this year, we did have a early spring, so it was nice to get a early dormant spray on. But pretty soon, plums, prunes, cherry, pear, all those are going to need to be green tip spray. So on plums and prunes, lime sulfur spray, 8 ounces per gallon on green tip right now. Pears, green tip to pink bud, do not spray. No spray needed right now. We want to wait till the white bud comes on, okay? So on fruiting pear, a lot of those pears are already open on the ornamental pears, but coming on the fruits very shortly. Apple, right now you're at silver tip. You're not quite at the flower point. Dormant spray with Captan, 2 weeks after the dormant spray. So really close, tight clusters. Some people might say my buds are starting to swell, which we call that tight clusters. Spray with lime sulfur, 1.5 ounces per gallon. Temperatures, please get above 60 degrees when you're spraying, everybody. For cherry tree, green tip, spray with Fertilome copper soap right now, 1 tablespoon per gallon. Again, cherry trees, apple, pear, peach, just talking about those. Now, peach and cherry trunk borer. We had a sample of that brought in this week. You'll find borers, running into the trunk of the tree itself. And a lot of times people thought it's a goner. Really, what you do, if you find a hole like that, take a thin wire, run it into the hole of the tree trunk as far as you can. Mix with 38 plus, quarter cup of that, and a quarter cup of water, and paint the tree trunk. What that's going to do is allow 24 hours of drying, and that will help with the borers. So hopefully we got a lot to do list and a lot of info today for our journal that you got to get done this week, everybody. So,
all right. Well, thank you very much, Andy. This has been Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell, brought to you each Saturday by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, located at the corner of Milam and 12th Street. Tune in again next Saturday morning after the 9 o'clock news for Over the Garden Fence. Up next, your financial planner with Ron Weiser on 590-96.5 WKZO.